Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me thank the committee for allowing us from New England Islands the opportunity to air our views here. I came here for a fair trade conference because we belong to the Windward Islands Farmers Association called WINFA in the Windward Islands, Eastern Caribbean Islands, Dominica, St. Lucia, Grenada, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We are in fact producers of fair trade bananas, and the lovely Caribbean bananas you see in the supermarkets come from our producers. Unfortunately, Mike was talking about some of the larger trade issues. For the last 17 years or so, we have been on the front line of what is known internationally now as the banana wars, where increasingly, particularly since the coming into being of the single European market, subsequent challenges to the banana, the European banana regime and the WTO, that increasingly the terms of our access towards the, well, it's really the British market more than the rest of Europe, have been deteriorating to the extent that whereas in 1992 we had more than 25,000 banana farmers producing bananas, in the islands now we have less than 4,000. In fact, there are now 3,300 plus fair trade farmers in the islands producing bananas. The one saving grace is that had it not been for fair trade and the choice of the British consumers, we would not have been able to compete in the open market. So I think it is good to note that one of the efforts we have made to combat this deterioration in terms of our terms of market access has been to look for alternative means of trading, specifically fair trading, to the extent that now when we started in the year 2000, we had less than 2% of the exports of bananas from the Windward Islands of fair trade. Today, more than 95% of our bananas exported are fair trade. More than that, we attempt to connect not just the banana industry, but to the wider agricultural industry, the whole question of how the model of development. I'm glad if you made some reference to it, because we have come across increasingly the advice, particularly from multilateral institutions, about how small farmer production is no longer viable. We like to say that we are part of the 2 billion people worldwide who are producing food in the world, small family farms. And increasingly the evidence shows that all of the lovely models of large-scale farming and so on have not been able to solve the problems in terms of the world food supply and ensuring that people get it. In particular, in the Caribbean, we have, since the oil crisis of 1973, the response of Caribbean governments was to set up a big CARICOM food plan. And there have been several versions of that. But it's one thing to have lovely ideas. I think that there are a number of problems which have impacted on it. Problems in terms of the rapid liberalization of trade in the world. Increasingly our own markets, because the CARICOM had a common external tariff, as you, given what is happening in the WTO and so on, we've had to reduce those external tariffs. Side by side with it has come the rising expectations coming particularly from television promoting foods and so on, particularly the kinds of fast foods. And also, increasingly, the high cost of inputs, and particularly over the last year or two, where fertilizer in particular and other inputs have been rising, such that even though we produce food in the Caribbean, that we are now, except for Guyana and Belize, every one of the other islands are now net importers of food. It is, in a practical sense, it means that if you come to St. Vincent, for instance, you will see in the market where farmers come to the market with their produce and try to sell all of their produce that they have to go in the supermarket to buy some rice, and imported chicken. Imported chicken either from Europe or North America. The people who look at nutrition and so on in a romantic way, without looking at what are the practical situation, say that, look, how could you be leaving healthy food and going for this? The reality is that if you have a family of five or six, and for instance in St. Vincent, fish, our local fish that we catch, $9 a pound. You can get chicken imported, of course it's the back and neck and so on. But for poor families, they get it at $1 a pound. So you can take a $5 and go into the supermarket and buy 2 pounds of rice and 2 pounds of chicken and feed your family. It's not the best food, it's not the healthiest food. But if you were to try to use even the food that we produce, so it makes economic sense to them to try to sell that food on the market and try to see what they could accumulate, because besides food, they also have to send their children to school and so on. So we believe that the interconnection between the question of our own production, of not just our export market in the case of bananas, but how does it connect to food security? And we believe that small farmers have an important role to play in it. It is unfortunate that over the years we have had all the prescriptions, but very few people try to involve the farmers themselves in drawing up these lovely food plans. So they're always, we have had multitudes of lovely plans, all of them are sitting on shelves and so on. That, just very quickly one example, some years ago, we had a lovely example of producing winter vegetables for sale in North America. A number of farmers, they distributed seeds, all kinds of farmers got into it. The problems we have is that when we actually produce, there are what the trade people call the non-tariff barriers, the fight to sanitary conditions and so on, and they were not able to export them. And we had this ridiculous situation of tons of food produced and spoiling for lack of market because they supposedly produced that. So in conclusion, I think it is important to for us, if when we talk of policy and so on, to learn about the connections of the small farmer production, how it relates to food, and most importantly for us in winter, it is not only a matter of producing food. For us, agriculture development also means development of the farmer, getting the small farmers to understand, because we talk of standards and people not meeting standards. If people don't understand trade policy, not in any way of like exports, but get to know what is happening in the international arena, what is the importance of food safety, why you must do certain kinds of things. So for us in Winfer, the empowerment of the farmers, getting them to understand, to lift their level of managing their own affairs, and in fair trade is one of the things we have been able to do it, to get them to begin to handle money, to begin to learn to deal with investments, to begin to look at a new way of farming. And finally, in terms of, I think all over the world, including Britain, we keep complaining about young people and agriculture. In our case, young people are not attracted to agriculture because, one, they see their parents have been in it for years and they haven't seen what they've been able to do to advance them significantly. But most importantly, young people are no longer interested in simply hoe and cutlass and fork and hard labor. We have found that they are very interested when you start to talk about irrigation and greenhouses and forms of appropriate technology. They get excited about these things. And if we are not making that investment and connecting them to that, I don't think we are going to be succeed. So thank you again for this.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Thank you very much indeed.